This show is brought to you by Marketing Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. Now, let's get on with the show. You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, Around Atlanta Edition, showcasing the best of Metro Atlanta, our communities, the attractions, and the special events that make Atlanta great. Welcome to our virtual town square. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Around Atlanta edition of the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I'm your host, Todd Schneck, joined by my friend and colleague, Brian Nani. Good morning, Brian. This promises to be a really interesting conversation. It's not an organization we've ever spoken with on the show. Promises to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's like an interview about interviews.
Well, this is an interview about an interview of interview, whatever. Let's get on with the show. We're joined by Daniel Horowitz Garcia. He's the regional manager of StoryCorps Atlanta. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And it's good to have you. We're also joined by Deanna Guyton. She's a facilitator with StoryCorps Atlanta. Deanna, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Deanna, let's start with you. Before we get into a conversation all around StoryCorps Atlanta, take a quick few seconds and inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
Sure. Well, I'm an Atlanta native, born and raised, but I moved to New York City for college. And while there, I got pretty involved with the student radio station, did some interviews there, did a blues music show, and formed some really important relationships with friends who were involved with activism and social justice circles. And so when I got out of college, I started looking for jobs in radio. And then I found StoryCorps and realized that they were doing oral history, working sort of underneath the banner of trying to bring marginalized and underrepresented folks to the project and making their voices more audible to wider audiences. And so that's kind of what led me here. And what I've fallen in love with is really getting to know the participants and reaching out to communities that aren't the typical NPR audience.
Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, to heck with StoryCorps, let's just talk blues for a while.
I'd love to.
All right. Daniel, what about you? Tell us a bit about you and your background.
I have no background in blues whatsoever, so this will be a short conversation.
Okay, moving on. Bye.
I have 20 years experience in nonprofits, Florida and Georgia, and I went back to school and got a degree in history. So I'm a historian by training, but I was an amateur historian beforehand. So I was finishing up my master's thesis, and on the graduate student listserv, it said job at StoryCorps, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have to get one of these jobs sooner or later. I've heard so much about. So I applied, and I was a facilitator, and very quickly the regional manager left, so I applied for that. And the master's in history, I have a background in oral history as well for about seven years experience in oral history, what I call a traditional model, not a StoryCorps model. So it was that and my outreach background, community outreach background, made it pretty exciting opportunity to join StoryCorps.
Cool stuff. It sounds like you two could get along really well. You both have history backgrounds.
Yes, and you see what we're doing with those history backgrounds. We're both in radio.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little more about StoryCorps, the purpose, the background. Tell us about its origination, and then tell us about how it came to Atlanta and a little more about the Atlanta location.
Sure. Well, StoryCorps was founded in 2003 by a radio documentarian named Dave Isay. There are a couple different origin stories of StoryCorps. I guess I don't need to go full into all of them, but one is that he recorded, as a young man, he recorded some older people in his family and eventually lost those tapes and has never been able to find them. So one thing is that he wanted people to be able to record their family's stories and have them archived forever and never lose those tapes somewhere in an attic. Another is that while he was doing radio documentaries in Chicago, he gave some recording equipment to some kids on the South Side and had them interview people in their community and in their homes. And he heard how powerful it is to have your interviewer be someone that you know and love. So then you hear a son asking his mother, "Are you proud of me?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about things that they've lived through themselves rather than having a third party interviewer come in and ask the questions. So it started in Grand Central Terminal in 2003. And now we have a permanent recording location here in Atlanta, one in Chicago and one in San Francisco. We also have a mobile booth that's in an Airstream trailer, and it'll park somewhere for a month at a time all over the country. It's gone as far as Alaska.
Whoa. That's
cool.
Really cool. Yeah.
And our headquarters are still in New York, and we have a team of facilitators there who will travel for up to 2 weeks at a time. So the model is a 40-minute conversation between two people who know and care about each other. So we often get families, we get parent-child relationships, we get siblings, we get spouses, but we also get best friends and we get mentors and mentees, and sometimes we get people who are very new to each other. So they come to us, and for 40 minutes, they sit in a recording booth in Atlanta, it's with me or my co-facilitator, Brittany. We alternate, and we kind of handle all the recording equipment, and we take notes, and sometimes we ask questions, but it's primarily a conversation between those two people. And then we archive that at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress and sometimes with other archive partners around the country.
This is a fascinating thing. Daniel, I mean, we were joking a minute ago about our history backgrounds. I mean, my life's taken a very interesting path, right? I had a history and poli-sci degree in school, and I was all set to go get a master's, leaving to go up to get my master's. Got a phone call, and then my career diverted into a political career, which then evolved into a marketing career, which then evolved into me stumbling upon podcasting, which I have then now since built an entirely different business around podcasting and radio and audio. But then that's evolving into other kinds of amazing content. And where I'm fascinated by StoryCorps is you're taking an existing medium that we all have the ability to do something interesting with, but you're taking that to the next level. I mean, it's fascinating how the evolution of this thing. People they're not used to talking about themselves or interviewing someone. Walk me through the process and how you talked someone into doing this and explaining the value of what this experience can mean for them.
In many ways, I think it's more like reminding people, right? Because history in general, well, all history was oral history up until fairly recently, mm-hmm. right? So if you think about, you know, everything we know about the Battle of Thermopylae, it was Herodotus talking to veterans about what happened, right? So the first historian was an oral historian, and his only recording device was his brain. Mm-hmm. So I think what's really changed over the last, mostly in the last 100 years, particularly in the last 50 years, has been the technology. So now, you know, it used to be oral history was something you did when you sat down with a president or a senator or a CEO of a mega corporations and stuff. And because you just couldn't move this equipment and it was too expensive to use and so on. But now, you know, quite literally somebody, if you have a phone, you have an oral history recording device that can record fairly well, probably better than those giant recordings did, you know, 40, 50 years ago, as long as you place the mic right. You know, it's fine. So I think StoryCorps is within that tradition. So it's definitely coming out of this idea around the social history of the 60s, where you don't just talk to the generals and the politicians and the CEOs, but you talk to the soldiers and the workers and the people impacted by the policies. And so if you expand that out, that's just getting everybody to talk about their everyday life. As somebody who is a researcher in addition to doing this, like when folks sit down and say, I have nothing to say, you know, I'm not very interesting. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you are the people that need to talk. Because yeah. I guarantee in 100 years from now, somebody's going to be like, I found somebody talking about their grandmother's cookies. This is amazing. and you'll be the center of a book or something. So,
sure.
So StoryCorps is a different take, I think, from that in the so-called traditional model. And it's weird to say traditional around oral history, because as a methodology, it's maybe 50 years old, even though, you know, we've been talking to each other. So in the StoryCorps model, it is two people having a facilitated conversation, right? So you two having a conversation about podcasting, for instance, could be an interview, but it is facilitated. So in that model, it's not an expert sitting with the storyteller and really kind of doing the interview and trying to dig into it's more of a conversation about something that is felt as important. So it's still the production of a primary source document, but I think it's more about not necessarily a chronology of what happened, but more of a feeling of what happened. So the most powerful StoryCorps stories are the ones where people talk about how they felt or how they feel about what happened and that memory, right? It's the importance of that memory to somebody who's very important to them. And that's what I think kind of makes it powerful. So it's not going to take over as the new methodology for oral history. It's not the intention. It's more this is going to get us to another place, and won't it be great to have this in addition to?
Yeah, sure. Really, really cool stuff. All right, Daniel and Deanna will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
Your marketing tactics shouldn't be silos. Silos are for cows. Build a marketing foundation that includes three main components working together: your brand, website, and blog. The tactics you use, social media, public relations, SEO, advertising, etc., should all interconnect and relate to your foundation. They aren't silos off by themselves in the field. When you are ready to create an integrated marketing strategy, contact Marketing Relevance to take your company to the next level. That's marketingrelevance.com or call 770-383-3360.
All right, we're back with Daniel Horowitz-Garcia and Deanna Guyton with StoryCorps Atlanta.
And so just before the break, Daniel, you're really getting into the deepness of StoryCorps, what it is and the purpose. And it seems to me that it's like the goal or the purpose of it all is to really give voice, give power back to the people, individuals, and that kind of, you know, strength to those, you know, the common folk, I guess. And so how would somebody go about getting in there, getting in with their loved one? Do you have any suggestions for who they should bring in?
Well, I guess I'll answer your second question first.
Okay.
From my angle, I'm always thinking about what's the emotional charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think the person, think about what you want out of the conversation, right? So we've had folks come in who they don't really know each other that well, but sitting across the table in that setting, you know, when you come into the booth, it's rather dark. We have a little lamp set up. Imagine a kitchen table about 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And you're sitting across that kitchen table with somebody and you just turn to the person and say, you know, I don't understand why you drive that beat up old truck. You make enough money to buy a really decent truck. Why do you drive that thing? Mm-hmm. And the person can look back at you and say, well, that truck was from my father and is the last thing he gave me before he died. Or my truck is fine. Leave my truck alone. Yeah. Or whatever. But you can ask that question you've always wanted to ask.
Right.
You could also come in the other reason. And so if what you want to do is ask the question you've always wanted to ask, well, that will pretty much tell you, you know, who to bring in. It's the person you've always wanted to ask.
Sure.
Now, sometimes folks will bring in, you know, a grandparent or something, and it's more like, I've heard these stories 1,000 times, but I want them on record. And so you know exactly who to bring in. I want to make sure grandma and grandpa's stories are recorded and preserved, and great-great-great-grandchildren will be able to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the stories. Just kind of ask the question, lean back, and let them go, mm-hmm. you know? And then there's always the, you know, the thing I want to say. I've always wanted to know more about this, but I need a more formal context than just sitting down and talking with you. I need mm-hmm. somebody in the room to make it like a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the tough ones. So, and that's, I mean, I had one interview where it was a 15-year-old son and his mom. And the first question out of the gate was, so what's the real reason you and dad got divorced?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, it's going to be that kind of party.
Yeah. Bringing the big guns.
But those can turn into the most impactful conversations and can be life-changing, yeah. frankly. When you're in an environment where you're it's welcome to bring up these kinds of things. It's almost expected. And I imagine, Deanna, that's kind of what I want to ask you the next question is, facilitator, mm-hmm. you don't just sit down, hit record and say, all right, guys, go.
No.
There's a role you play in terms of helping coach them. Because I've interviewed thousands of people and I range from the guy who's done tons of Fox News and CNN and are comfortable in that medium to someone like even today really struggled to even articulate their company's value proposition. They're just not comfortable in the medium. So I imagine a lot of people that you sit down with, this is not an environment they're used to.
Right.
So walk us through how you coach them, how you facilitate. Are you a co-host? Are you off mic and just coaching? Walk us through how that works.
Sure. This is easy. This is what I have to do all the time. I feel like I'm always on. You're never off when you work for StoryCorps. You tell someone what you do and then they have a million questions mm-hmm. for you. So participants arrive about 15 minutes before we're supposed to start recording. And the first thing they do is fill out a data sheet, which is just a little bit of information about like, it's the contact information. Then it's like a short demographic survey. So once they jump over that hurdle, they get to talk to me. It's like a prize. No, I'm kidding. So I ask them what their relationship is to each other, why they wanted to come to StoryCorps. I kind of ask if they've talked to each other. And we do prep everyone on the phone about 2 weeks before their appointment. But I ask them, you know, have you prepared questions? Do you know what you want to get out of this conversation? Because I'm here to help you get whatever you want to get out of the conversation. I'm not here to be your interviewer, but I'm here to kind of guide you through the process. So I'll be the person handling all the technical aspects of the recording. I'll position the mics. We'll do a sound check. I'll have headphones on. They don't. And I pay attention to sound quality throughout the recording. Mm-hmm. And then I also take notes. So I am sitting off to the side while the participants are sitting across a table talking to each other. But one of my responsibilities is to sometimes ask questions. That's especially important for people who know each other very well. Well, they'll sort of gloss over something that they've talked about a million times. You know, like I had a mother once say like, well, I was the only woman in the physics department at that time. And actually my high school teachers had told me that no woman should ever study physics ever, but it's fine. And I said, well, do you want to like back up and talk about that for a minute? But of course her daughter had heard the story a million times and so didn't necessarily think like, let's expand on that. So sometimes it's to say like, how old were you or what year was that or what order did that happen in? But sometimes it's to ask like, Jake, do you want to tell your stepmom like what you love about her? because they're 35 minutes into this interview and they're both crying, and you can tell that that would be a really meaningful moment. So yes, part of it is like people not feeling comfortable with having a microphone in front of their face. But I think another part of it is making sure that anyone who comes through the door feels comfortable enough with their interview partner and with me to be really open and vulnerable and honest. So I just try to be as like welcoming and supportive and compassionate as I can right out of the gate, so that they trust whatever vibe I'm giving off, and they're open to having a 40-minute intimate conversation with a stranger in the room. And amazingly, almost all of the time they are. I mean, I finish it. Not every interview blows me away with its like vulnerability, but many, many of them do. And I'll stop the recording when it's done and say, thank you for letting me witness that. Thank you for letting me be a part of that, because, you know, you don't have to. You could come in and just talk about what you had for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Or breakfast. Mm-hmm. The key, though, to what I think you do, is you're not just a sound engineer in there. No. What I think you're doing, if I'm hearing you correctly, is you're creating an environment where they're comfortable to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because it's only then that I think you can really pull out magic out of this conversation, right? I mean, that's kind of in essence your job, is I want to make everyone feel like they can really share here. Mm-hmm. And it's a safe place to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd say that's completely true. And there are some people where I sit back and I barely ask a question because they've got it. They're like, their dynamic is great. They both love asking questions. They're both like natural storytellers. And then there are some where it takes a lot more coaxing, but I get a lot of feedback where they'll say like, I'm so glad you were here because like, I wouldn't have gone there, or I wouldn't have thought to ask that, or just like asking them like, well, slow down, talk about that some more. So it is, I am there to facilitate. I mean, the job title comes from somewhere.
Right. I mean, a lot of times what the participants want to get out of it, it may not sound like great radio, but that's not the point.
But that's not the goal of it.
You know,
right.
The goal is making sure that the participants get what they need out of it. And so, you know, when folks say, you probably don't hear any boring interviews, I'm like, some interviews are boring to me, but they're not boring to the participants.
But not to the participants. Sure, right.
So example is a daughter and father came in, they were adult daughter and her father, and she wanted to know what he was doing for a living during the whole time she was growing up. And he was a civil engineer. So there was a 20-minute conversation on putting rebar in Tennessee soil because the torque on the power plant engines, it was not fascinating to me. But it is exactly what she wanted out of this conversation. Like, it was her daughter learning more about her father when she was like, where were you when I come home and you were what was going on in your life at that point that I didn't see? So she saw a part of her father she had never saw. That is fascinating. But the actual conversation is like, look, this isn't about making sure that everybody else in the world is really fascinated by this 40-minute conversation. It's making sure that the participants get where they want to get. So sometimes it's great radio, but that's not really our call.
Do you have, speaking of really memorable interviews, are there any that speak to you individually, either both you, Daniel, and Deanna, and either have an interview that comes to mind that you'd like to share, or if that's allowed? I don't know what the rules are around those. So.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I must be breaching confidentiality, but then I also remember that they sign release forms.
Right.
We archive it forever, and we often put it on the radio. So I guess I can
talk. So you do publish some of the stuff.
We do. So yeah, I guess podcast, we haven't talked about that, because Daniel and I are both suckers for the recording experience and for the archive. But the way that most people know StoryCorps is because we have a radio broadcast.
Sure.
We have an amazing production department in our New York office, and every week one of the interviews, and at current count, I think we have more than 60,000 interviews archived at the Library of Congress. It'll get edited down from 40 minutes to about 3, and it'll air on Morning Edition as like this beautiful little tiny audio piece. And there are sometimes more broadcasts throughout the weekend. And also here in Atlanta, we have a local broadcast of specifically recorded in Atlanta stories on Tuesdays. Our mission statement is to record, preserve, and share the stories of people of all backgrounds and belief. And that's the share part where we're putting it on the radio. But yeah, memorable stories for me don't even have to be the ones that I recommended for broadcast. It can just be the relationship between two people. Yesterday, I had a conversation between two best friends. One of them is about to have a baby, and one of them is about to move. And so just they wanted to capture what's going on in their life right now. And that was amazing to me. I don't know if it'll make great radio, but like it was wonderful to witness. I feel like I fall in love with all of my participants, but I have a number of memorable ones. One woman came in with her husband to talk about her mother's murder. That was incredibly difficult. Two sons came in with their mother recently to talk about an accident that she'd been through, and she suffered some memory loss. And one of the sons pulled out letters that she had written to him from the hospital that she had no memory of. And that was incredibly moving. There are so many. Do you want to take this while I think about some more?
Yeah. My second or third week on the job, I did an interview with a mother and her daughter, grown daughter. And the mother told the story of she's a black woman who was working at Woolworths in downtown Atlanta as a server. And she had that job a month, Freedom Riders, which was the general term for civil rights activists, protesters. They came in to do a lunch counter sit-in at Woolworths. And her manager told her, you're going to have these folks come in. You can serve the white protesters, but you can't serve the black protesters. And she said, well, I can't do that. I quit. You know, and, you know, on its own, that would be a fantastic story. But she went on about, you know, her daughter was like, well, how did your father feel about that? And he was like, well, he was angry that I lost my job after a month. But when I told him why, he was happy with it. And so her daughter said, well, it must have been what happened to his father. And turns out this woman's, the mother's grandfather was a white man in South Georgia who was married to a black woman with children. And some white man came into their house and set him on fire and killed him. And so since then, like, the family has now like four generations of civil rights activists. So her story, you know, and that connection to that whole lineage, I mean, that's when we think about, you know, civil rights movements or any, and my specialty in history is race, gender, and social movement in the South in the late 20th century. So this interview was the reason I went to grad school. And particularly her was the story of somebody who's just never been in the historical record before and wasn't going to be unless there was some kind of special effort to make sure she was. So to me, that was ranks right up there in my
I'm telling you what, that conversation would be a lot more powerful than listening to Brian and I talk about podcasting. I can assure
but
you
you're
that.
Welcome to do it. I mean, we get some heavy ones like the ones we've just mentioned, but then we also, one of my favorites was three women who were all in their early 60s talking about their crazy college memories, and they all called each other the screaming yellow zonkers, and they just told one story after the other, and it didn't make any sense, but it was a lot of fun.
But it did to them, and that's what's so, and that's what's so great about what you do. And let me assure you, I can make podcasting very emotional. So. Guys,
I believe that.
It's criminal that we got StoryCorps into what was supposed to be a 10-minute segment that's now almost 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. That tells you any indication on this conversation. So, guys. Guys, I do have to let you go. Before I do let you go, how can people contact you, learn more about StoryCorps Atlanta?
Absolutely. We have our website, storycorps.org. We, StoryCorps Atlanta, are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/StoryCorps Atlanta. The best way to probably reach us, though, is to email atlanta@storycorps.org or to call our office, which is 404-814-4190.
Okay. Daniel Horowitz Garcia, Regional Manager, and Deanna Guyton, Facilitator with StoryCorps Atlanta. Guys, it was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's Around Atlanta edition. Check out the show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. So again, on behalf of today's guests, Daniel Horowitz Garcia and Deanna Guyton, my co-host Brian Nani, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you tomorrow on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.